Greetings, 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 pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob coming to you from our broadcasting studios in the Parsonage in Arthur, Illinois, the House of Peace. And it is Monday of our Holy Week. This is March 29th. It's our 41st episode of our Lenten daily devotion. Now, it's commonly known that Lent is 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days of sacrifice, 40 days of fasting. Lent is 40 days. How are we already on 41 and Easter's not here? I think many of you know that answer now, right? The Sundays in Lent do not count as part of Lent. They are little mini Sabbaths, little mini Easters. On the way to Easter Sunday, little respites along the way to remind us of what's actually coming and to keep hope alive in our hearts. So today is Monday of Holy Week, and it's episode 41. And we're going to hear some scripture as if this was the Monday in Jesus' life. We're going to hear scripture of what's going on in Jesus' time in this week from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read chapter 14 of Mark, verses 3 through 10. And then we'll get on into the devotion, some reflection questions, a wonderful poem, one of the great closing lines of a poem you'll ever hear from Robert Frost. And thus we are prepared. We've got the worship guitar in the background, the cerulean surf and sea candle, and the chamomile rooibos morning tea. That's de-stress tea. Amen. Here's our scripture reading as we open the Bible today. We open to Mark 14. And we hear this story of the Monday of Holy Week in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had leprosy. During supper, a woman came in with a beautiful jar of expensive perfume. She broke the seal and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why was this expensive perfume wasted?" they asked. "She could have sold it for a small fortune and given the money to the poor." And they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why berate her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But I will not be here with you much longer. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I assure you, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be talked about in her memory." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. Mary Alice Mulligan shares these thoughts about our story today. She says, "Throughout history, women have been caregivers during life changes. They give birth. They teach children basic religious lessons. They nurse family during illness and prepare bodies after death. If we look around most congregations, women outnumber men. They have been significant caretakers of the Christian faith for two millennia. And at the same time, women are minimized, forgotten, or neglected in Scripture and in Christian tradition. Here in the story where one disciple betrays, another denies, the closest fall asleep, and all the men eventually run away, we should notice that this female follower, whose name has been forgotten, recognizes who Jesus is. He is God's chosen one. And according to Hebrew scripture, he is to be anointed. She tends to him. Her actions acknowledge that Jesus is Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Jesus predicts she will be remembered wherever the good news is proclaimed. Yet, we often ignore her. So, let us celebrate her today. Facing the coming brutality and torture, Jesus is comforted by this one disciple who honors him, pouring out extravagant, loving care. Mary Alice Mulligan asks some questions for our reflection. Can you remember a time in your life someone recognized you were in pain or afraid of what was ahead or brokenhearted? How did they show care for you? How did their care feel? Could you write them a note of appreciation and mail it? As you consider what lies ahead for Jesus, can you write to him in your journal, describing how you would like to care for him as the cross looms? Our poem today is by Robert Frost. It's called Hyla Brook. Hyla Brook. Hyla Brook's a poem that has the sound and the shape of a sonnet. But Robert Frost goes beyond that pattern and adds a 15th line. And it is that line, that 15th line, which caps the picture with clear and universal wisdom. So listen for that. This is Hyla Brook. I'll read it twice, by Robert Frost. By June, our brooks run out of song and speed. Sought for much after that, it will be found either to have gone groping underground and taken with it all the Hyla breed that shouted in the mist a month ago, like ghost of sleigh bells in a ghost of snow. Of flourished and come up in jewel weed, weak foliage that is blown upon and bent even against the way its waters went. Its bed is left a faded paper sheet of dead leaves stuck together by the heat. A brook to none but who remember long. This, as it will be seen, is other far than with brooks taken otherwhere in song. We love the things we love for what they are. Hyla Brook, by Robert Frost. By June, our brooks run out of song and speed. Sought for much after that, it will be found either to have gone groping underground and taken with it all the Hyla breed that shouted in the mist a month ago like ghosts of sleigh bells in a ghost of snow, or flourished and come up in jewelweed, weak foliage that has blown upon and bent even against the way its waters went. Its bed has left a faded paper sheet of dead leaves stuck together by the heat. A brook to none but who remember long. This, as it will be seen, is other far than with brooks taken otherwhere in song. We love the things we love for what they are. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, anointed one of God, you are monarch of the universe, yet you prepared to give yourself over to our worst tendencies. You are love amazing. Amen.